Les colloques du Collège de France.
Great, thanks a lot, Alexandra, and thanks to you and Philippe for including this paper on the program. It's great to be here with you today. So this paper actually relates to something that I think John talked about this morning, about the lost Einsteins, lost Marie Curies. This is going to be thinking about the people who are hired, or not hired, could have been hired by these lost Einsteins and lost Marie Curies. This is joint work with my co-author, Josh Feng. So the motivation is that we know there are these big gaps in access to entrepreneurial careers, innovation careers. John reviewed this, Philippe and Ufuk have worked on this. And you know, then the question is, what are the economic consequences of this unequal access that has been widely documented? So there's some work, some of Ufuk's work, some of my work, where we quantified the impact that this underrepresentation has on overall economic growth, and we found large effects. You can think, you know, if we equalize access, we could probably get up to 1 percentage point higher productivity growth. So, you know, it would be a tremendous increase. It's also hard to get there. So that's, you know, something where we have a quantitative handle on that question. Another question is the distributional impacts that this underrepresentation might have on the types of products that are created. And so that's something we've looked at with others in earlier work. So there, the idea is that people tend to innovate for people who look like themselves, perhaps because they are more interested intrinsically, because they're aware of needs, and so on. But something that we know less about is potential distributional impacts on workers. If there is homophily between the founders and the employees, then if you had more female founders of startup, you might also have more female hired in these young startups. And we know that these young, fast-growing firms play a very important role for net job creation in the economy. So that's the question that we want to look into. So we'll have three questions. One, do entrepreneurs hire people from similar backgrounds in terms of gender, age, race? How big are these differences? Can we learn about mechanisms, perhaps, looking at heterogeneity patterns? Two, do they pay more or less when they hire someone of their own background, right? You might think there are supply and demand effects. So what drives this homophily, if it exists, between employers and employees? And then three, what are the overall impacts on labor market opportunities and outcomes and on wage inequality? So the last point we're going to look at through the lens of a simple model. The first two we're going to explore empirically. So since time is limited, let me summarize the main findings and then just have some highlights throughout the talk. So one, we're going to find large homophily between founders and the employees. We're going to see that in the United States, combining various data sets. And so just to give you some numbers already, for example, the female employee share at female-founded startups is about 36 percentage point higher, even if you draw comparisons in the same industry, in the same location. So you have these really wide differences, and they're not just there the first few years of the life of the company, they're really persistent. Number two, if you look at heterogeneity, well, you find homophily basically where you look. There's some heterogeneity, but broadly you see it in high growth startup, lower growth startup. You see it in different occupations. It seems that it results both from hiring decisions and then also retention of the employees. So then to think about the relative effects of demand side and supply side factors in creating this homophily, we're going to use France's AKM approach and see when a person moves to a firm that's founded by someone of their type, is it good for their wages, is it not so good, and we'll find that actually they earn more. So it seems like demand side factors are driving this. And then finally, we'll have a simple model of entrepreneurship with heterogeneous ability, heterogeneous production functions depending on your background, and we're going to calibrate that using our estimates, and then we're going to run a very ambitious counterfactual. Imagine we equalize access to entrepreneurial careers. What would happen to inequality across workers? Well, we find a sizable impact, for example, on the gender wage gap, falling by 9 percentage points, which is about half of the actual wage gap for people who are employed in the US. And you also have sizable effects for the black-white gap and other types of gaps. Yes?
There's a paper in science which is somewhat related to what you're talking about. the Wimek Zaruski paper?
I'm not sure I know that
so
the paper.
I think it's in an important paper because okay. It says that it's not only the founders and the workers, it's the firm. The age of the firm, and they show that the age of the young firms hire young workers. It's a Journal of Financial Economics paper published like 10 years ago, and I think it's very much related.
Okay, yeah, that's great. So it's like, yeah. So age of firm and age of worker. Interesting.
So
we'll add to that.
Yeah. And
thank you. Sounds good. So that gives you, you know, the main messages already, and then we'll highlight some of the results in each of these buckets. So we'll add to this. We got this suggestion from Francis to this literature review, but then broadly we focus on the worker versus founder match. And there's some work in developing countries showing a link, for example, between female employees and female founder in the informal sector. But here we're looking at the US modern context, high growth firms. So let me first tell you about the data sources and the research design, and then we'll go through the results in steps. So we're going to use census data in the US called the LEHD. So we have lots of information about 30 US states. So this is great, but it doesn't cover all US states. So we're also going to bring in information from Crunchbase and LinkedIn, which is going to be restricted more to the startups. And this has also some limitations. Not everyone is in Crunchbase, not everyone is on LinkedIn, but this is a good complement. And then we're just going to run descriptive regression to start with to see to what extent there's a correlation between worker demographics and founder demographics. So I can go relatively fast on the data. The LEHD has been used by many people, including people in this room. We're going to follow an approach of Kerr, where you define the founder as someone who is in the top three paid employees in year zero in that data set. When we go to the Crunchbase and LinkedIn data, we'll be able to better measure the founder, but that's what we can do with the LEHD. And on the worker side, we directly see the demographic characteristics of the non-founder. So we have 3.6 million workers here in this database in the panels that we work with. This is just a word on the Crunchbase and LinkedIn, just highlighting that this is complementary because we can better measure the founder information, but at the same time, that there's some selection into the Crunchbase LinkedIn match database. So with this, we can then run this very simple, but we think informative, regressions. Is there a correlation captured by beta T between the worker type and the entrepreneur type? And so this is going to be done controlling for some fixed effects. So we're going to compare people who are in the exact same very detailed industry, in the exact same location. The firm is founded in the same year. And then we can see whether there you still have a correlation. And if you take out these fixed effects, does that change the correlation? The scale of beta is going to be interpreted as, if it's zero, it means that there's no link at all. It's like random matching of workers and founders. If it's one, it would be complete segregation. If you have 100% female founder, you also have 100% female workers. You could also, in principle, have a minus one if you had you only hire people who are opposite of your type. So with this, we can turn to the main homophily estimates. So this is a figure that reports the beta coefficient under different specifications. So the red dot, which is close to 0.6 in year zero, which is a year of founding, and kind of stays quite close to 0.6 in even 5 years after founding. That means if you have a founding team of 100% women, they'll have 60% female employees. Well, you'd be at zero if you had no female at all in that specification, relative to the average, which is about 40% in that sample. So if you then add fixed effect, this correlation becomes a bit lower, closer to 0.4. If you compare that to other analyses of gender homophily in the literature, so if people have looked at this, you know, how friendships are formed and so on, this is actually as large as what, even a bit larger than what people have documented in other contexts. And that's basically what we're going to find with the other demographics as well. Strong homophily compared to benchmark homophily rates in the literature. So for whether you're an African American, you hire African American workers, here you have a 0.6 beta coefficient as well. And this remains very, very similar even as you add the fixed effects. very similar to the Hare's homophily coefficients estimated elsewhere in the literature. Hispanic, also very similar, maybe slightly lower than for African Americans. And then you could also think about education, sort of a broader concept, where there it's a bit lower, but you also see that college educated workers tend to, when they found a firm, hire also higher educated workers. And then we can redo all of that conditional and wages, you know, production structure, capital labor share, things like this, and the correlation here moved very, very little. Martin.
Have you tried to see why this looks very different in the early 90s versus today? Are we getting less homophily now with the whole focus on diversity and equity?
So we've looked at, I think, for 15 years, but it's more like from early 2000 to 2015, and that was quite stable. But it would be interesting to see if we can add more years to speak to that.
Yeah. The growth dynamics probably differ a bit across different types of entrepreneurs, so possibly
yes.
Less growth for some of the black
yeah.
And does that matter in terms of these
things? So here, this is LEHD, all firms. So you have also a lot of laundromats and not high growth firms. So later, I think you have a table where we split this, and we also do this in the paper, and it's quite similar. Mm-hmm. So you also see this in the high growth firms, which I'm going to get to in a moment. Here, I wanted to show you a figure that splits two components. In blue, it's for all employees. So these are the homophily estimates for all employees, very similar to what we saw, like identical to what we saw before with all the fixed effects. And then in red is for the new employees. So here, the hiring of new employees, the homophily falls over time, but the retention more than offsets that because people of the same time tend to apparently be more likely to continue working together. So there's some effect from retention. If you look at heterogeneity by wage levels, we consistently find that the higher paid the person is, the strongest the homophily. But you know the coefficients remain large in all cases. But you can see here the green dot is going to be the highest wage within each category. So for example, going from about point here 0.3 to above 0.4 for the female category.
I remember a paper by David Card, you know, a long time ago, in Sweden, where in his paper, gender was
yes.
not necessarily a good thing. I mean, for example, female boss were not necessarily more favorable to female subordinates or whatever. Do you remember that?
So we should look into, maybe I don't remember the correct paper. There's one where they look at Germany. I don't know if it's that paper. So I should go back and see exactly what they find. Yes.
Tougher with my own.
Okay, so because we're going to do these AKM decomposition, which relates to some of the card papers in yeah. both Portugal and Germany, but we should connect better to the results. Sounds good. So you know, so here, heterogeneity by sector, we see this homophily both for services, outside of services. Speaking to John's question, here this is still in the LEHD, looking at firms in the top 10% of the firm growth distribution or elsewhere, and you see that you have very similar homophily estimates in those two categories. So now let's think about using some of the wage data, which we have in the LEHD, to think about potential impact that this homophily has on wages. So you know, there might be non-pecuniary motives to work with people of your own type. If they dominate on the worker side, maybe they would actually accept lower wages, but there might be, in fact, these motives might be on the entrepreneurial side, or you might have a productivity effect, which would mean relative demand is higher. So to think about that, we're going to run these wage regressions where we have firm fixed effects and we look at transitions when workers move to a firm, and that's how we're going to estimate the gamma coefficients here, controlling for a bunch of characteristics of the firm and of the workers, including age, S squared, and the usual measures in this literature. So we estimate this AKM firm fixed effect, the standard one, except that we do this separately for samples here of female workers, and we're going to do it separately for male workers, and then for African Americans, whites, and so on. And then once we have that, we can difference out the fixed effects that are recovered in this separate estimation. So here, for example, for male minus female, then we regress that on the fraction of female founders and see with this beta one coefficient whether that predicts a higher fixed effect for the woman at the firm or the other way around. And the standard test to show that in this setting we have a usual type of event study for the AKM design. Let me jump to the results right away. So we find positive coefficients. So here, 12.0129 means that there is a 12.9% wage premium for women who work at female-founded firms. And you see these positive premiums also here for blacks, Hispanics, and also depending on education. So that suggests that the demand side drives these homophily effects.
So Zami, maybe this is part of your mechanism, but imagine that the early workers in a firm are kind of like equity holders in the firm, and with homophily, you mean the female workers are effectively getting equity. Could that be part of what's going on? Mm-hmm. Obviously, as a team of founders, that's not the direct effect, but the early working in Microsoft, the early workers, I mean, they literally get stuck in the firm.
Yeah. So here they get paid more, right? So we don't see equity, we don't see stock options. So that's something that we miss, and so we need to think whether we can make any progress on that. But I agree that it matters because we look at high growth firms. I would have thought, you know, here we see that they're paid more, and so one question is that, is this offsetting the fact that they didn't get equity? Maybe that's your story.
There's direct equity, but there's also kind of indirect equity. It's like, you know, you give rewards more to the early people in the firm, and that sticks around.
I see.
You can look at this, but look at the dynamics.
Right, so we should look at this, like, after 5 years, do we still see it or not? Yes.
Early, or was it even coming in from people themselves?
Yeah, great. Yeah, we'll do that. Great. Yes?
So just to understand, are you comparing the fact of being a female founder versus the rest? And same for black, because I'm a female, so I'm talking for myself. We tend to be a bit more open on everything, like diversity and things. So maybe a female founder is also going to pay more, like Hispanic colleague or black colleague, mm-hmm. or a college non-educated colleague.
Yeah, that's...
Mm-hmm. Sort of cross fixed effects, or is it very separate?
We haven't looked at these cross fixed effects, but we should do that. So it's basically at this stage, once we have estimated all these fixed effects, we have them. We just regress them on different characteristics of the founders and see what it loads on. And it's a good idea. We could do a horse race of founder characteristics and see what drives this. Yes?
The numbers you're showing us are not normalized by the fraction. Because I would expect. That would be interesting to see how it works at different across the distribution. I would expect to have more, a larger female founder fraction than the larger maybe Hispanic. I don't know, to have a sense of how it works at different quantiles of the distribution of these fractions.
Yeah, maybe we can report quantile effects. In this table, it's wage premiums, so it says, if you're a female, you join a female-founded firm, you have close to a 13% wage premium.
The founder fraction is likely to be higher in a random firm than the black founder fraction in a random firm. Depending on where it is, etc. Mm-hmm. You may expect to have, let's say, 10% versus 50%, or even 80%.
I mean, we could also focus on firms with a single founder, and then just contrast this more extreme cases if you think that resolves some of these questions.
Yeah. The magnitude are hard to compare for these coefficients.
Right. If you think there's non-linearities, yes. So otherwise, here the thought experiment is you move from a firm with just one founder who is male and then to one founder who is female. Great. So that's for the wage effects. And then, no, we have a couple minutes, so I can show you the logic of the simple model. So it's motivated by the evidence that we have these large and persistent differences in employer-employee homophily. We said, you have these positive wage responses, so it seems led by labor demand plays the driving role. So you might think that these entrepreneurs just have different production functions. They work with different types of people, even if they work in the same industry in the same place. So to capture this in the model, here is the key ingredients. We'll have different groups of people indexed by G. So let's focus on male and female for now. Not everyone is going to have access to entrepreneurial opportunities. So we're going to say that for random reasons, a fraction of people that's going to depend on the group that you belong to is going to be exposed to entrepreneurial careers. And so some will be able to optimally decide whether they want to go into an entrepreneur's career based on financial incentives. Or if they don't do that, then they will go and work as production workers. And then this is going to be the production function that differs based on the type of the founder. So you produce output Y based on some composite labor input, labor bundle, and the labor bundle combines the two types of labor. So here the male LGM and the female LGF. And these have different productivity parameters, AGM, AGF. And there's some elasticity of substitution between the worker types. And so here, because of hardwired, you'll have higher demand for female if you are a female founder, because we're going to say that you have a relatively stronger A parameter. And we're going to fit all these parameters to align with the style as facts that I showed you just before. So, you know, the following slides were just going through this step by step, but it's like a relatively standard. You solve the problem, you find the optimal labor demand for different types. Then you also have an optimal rule to become an entrepreneur, depending on whether you're exposed to these careers or not. And so then with this, we want to consider the following counterfactual. We say, let's assume we remove all access barriers. So now, in this case, females will all be able to consider an entrepreneurship career. Now let's recompute the equilibrium. How large are changes in wages? So this is something that you should think about as potentially informative about long-run outcomes, because, of course, if today you lifted the barriers for everyone, it's just for the new generation, so it would take time for them to potentially replace all the existing firms. But with that in mind, let's see what happens. For this, we need to set some parameters. So we're going to pick parameters from the literature. An important one is the elasticity of substitution between majority and minority workers, or male and female, which we take from this paper by Ciplunkar and Goldberg. And we're going to target the moments that basically I showed you earlier. Here, I use the term majority and minority as a generic way of presenting this, because it's going to be male, female, blacks, white, and so on. And so we're going to target the minority worker share at the minority-founded firm, the minority worker share at majority-founded firms, and so on. And so the minority to majority overall wage ratio in the economy. So when you do all of this, you end up with this. So if we focus on the first row for female, just you can sort of ignore the calibration. Just note the WF over WM is the gender gap at the observed equilibrium. So female are paid about 20% less than men. We start from that.
And, Xavier,
yes.
I don't want to delay you.
No.
Does it make a difference if the founder is young, old? Is it the case that at some moment it doesn't make that much of a difference if you are older?
Yeah, it's interesting. We could look at age-based homophily, but we should also look whether we could also see, for example, is it the case that gender homophily is weaker among younger founder than older founder, right? We haven't looked at that. We could look at that.
That can also adjust Martin's earlier point where you couldn't go in depth because of the data.
Yes, but if you look at the age, that helps. Yes, right. Thank you. So baseline, 20% lower pay for female. Now we have our big shock of equal access. And now it's much better for also the female workers, who now have an 11% wage cut instead of 20% at baseline. So relative wages have increased meaningfully. Then you can see for blacks, Hispanics, non-college, you also have these meaningful increases. So bottom line, right on time, maybe this time for one question. Large homophily seems to be broad-based. You had like many interesting suggestions about additional cuts. Seems to be driven by the demand side. And if you put this into a very simple model, you conclude that the macro consequences in the long run could be important, for example, with a fall in the gender wage gap on the order of 9 percentage point, half of the existing gap.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-2-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.